the cry, "You'll be sorry!"
"Talk," suggested Marco.
"I plead."
"Who runs the disc? Where are they? How may we contact them? We shall require adequate directions and a detailed assessment of probable risks."
Kin stepped forward and smiled reassuringly at the tethered giant. "Where did you come from, Svandor?" she said.
"I have always understood that a dog with stomach gripes paused near a log, and the sun hatched me out, lady. Do not let him near me. I can see his thoughts, and—"
"I won't let him hurt you."
"Oh, yes? Just how?" Marco began angrily.
Two of his hands were heavily bandaged.
"There is an island at the hub of the disc," said Kin sweetly, ignoring the interruption. "Tell me about it."
"Great lady, great beasts roam there, or so it is said. None of us may go there on pain of...
"Of what?"
"Agony, lady. Pain. The world disappears, and then one is in a new place, and there is agony."
"But you have attempted to go there."
"There is nothing there but black sand, lady, and the bones of ships, and in the centre a dome of copper, and terrible engines. They cannot be tricked."
Kin kept trying for another 10 minutes, then gave up. "I believe him," she said, joining the others and dialing for coffee.
"He is manifestly a product of complex technology," said Marco.
"Yeah, but he thinks he's a demon. What am I supposed to do, argue?"
"If I chopped a foot off, perhaps he would think differently," said Marco, reaching for a knife.
"No," said Silver, drumming her fingers on the dumbwaiter's dome. "No, I think not, Marco. We must assume that the disc builders tend to think like human beings. And humans set great store by mercy and fair play, at least when it does not conflict with their interests. Let us therefore set the creature free, thus demonstrating our moral superiority. The action will declare us to be merciful and civilized. In any case," she added, and they instinctively looked up for Ravens as she lowered her voice, "I fail to see any further use in him." Kin nodded. Silver walked and pulled at the knots in the cable and let it fall away. Svandor stood up, looked at them solemnly, and walked out into the light. He raised a cloud of dust as he took off, jerking upwards like a man-heron, and hovered 15 meters up.
"Zygonen, Tryon, Tfki, Berigo, Horshim!"
"So much for gratitude," said Silver. "You understand the language," said Kin. "No, but I think I got the drift of that."
"Asphalago Tegeram! Nema, Dwola, Nama, where are you, Soignatori, Usore, Dilapidator? No!"
For an instant, the demon was a black cloud that filled the sky, a fog of flickering, fuzzy images, each one staring in terror. Then he was gone. There was a thump of inrushing air. They flew higher and fast over forests flattened by the falling ship. The smoke column was thinning, but now they were within miles of it, the sky was all smoke. Marco aimed directly at it, daring it to contain enemies. Ahead of Kin, his suit glittered like a silver spark against the darkness. Once inside, Kin was surprised that she could still see. It might have been better if she could not. Between billows was the landscape of hell. After 5 minutes inside the smoke, Marco spoke.
"I don't understand it," he said. "There's no radiation. There shouldn't be, but there's far too much damage, Silver."
Below them a drunken forest burned. Before the Shand answered, the ground below them disappeared abruptly, as if there had been a cliff.
"I can see nothing in this gloom," said Silver. "Can you?"
Marco could. Kung eyes had better night vision. He swore and slowed his suit. The others did the same, drifting together so that the suits bobbed as in trio in the smoke. Marco was still staring down.
"I don't believe it," he said softly. "Let's go down."
"I'm flying blind," complained Silver. "You must direct me so that I don't hit the ground."
"You won't," said Marco.
Kin let herself drop, tensing herself for the crash until she came out of the smoke into moonlight, shining upwards. Vertigo gripped like a wrench. She could take space because everywhere was down and direction lost its meaning. Skimming over a landscape was fine. It was no different than driving an air car. But not this. Not hanging legs down over a hole in the world.
The moon was directly below, hovering near infinity at the bottom of a tunnel that went down and down and down.